Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year-long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 9, studying Matthew chapter 9. As we get started, these reminders. Though our programs air thousands of times every month, they do not air continuously everywhere. But if you want it, you can have full-time, unlimited access to all of our materials, including all of the broadcasts that we air, by going to internationalgospelhour.com and by clicking the free menu there. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, we encourage you to try our free, self-paced online Bible study program. Just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org in order to start. Or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer, you can take our free 30-lesson Bible study series by mail. To start today, just call our toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988. Let's get into a study of God's Word, Matthew chapter 9, today. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 and following, the Pharisees challenged Jesus because he ate with tax collectors and sinners, and Jesus responded. The Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" In Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13, we see Jesus' response. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Pharisees adopted an isolationist approach to the world. From their perspective, they were righteous because they refrained from interaction with others. Jesus, however, fully engaged with tax collectors and sinners, thus making himself a large target for their criticisms. Jesus responded to their criticism with this analogy. How does a physician heal those who are sick? Doctors do not help sick people by avoiding all contact with them. Doctors are all about associating with sick people, not because they want to become sick themselves, but so that they can make sick people well. That principle applies spiritually. Those who are well spiritually associate with those who are not well spiritually, not so that they will be influenced by their worldliness, but so that they will have an opportunity to influence them for good. Jesus' lesson, in effect, I am a spiritual physician. My job will always be to make spiritually sick people well, and that's why I will always be in the company of those people. I cannot make them well if I never have anything to do with them. Jesus had one other lesson, the I desire mercy and not sacrifice lesson. Though the Pharisees viewed themselves as righteous, and almost everyone but themselves with disdain, Jesus told them that they needed to learn something. He cited Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, a key text that addressed the need to be compassionate and merciful as a logical and chronological priority in life. Religious ritual without God-like, without Christ-like, without Spirit-like character was worthless. It might look good to self and to others, but it looks anything but good to God, to Christ, to the Spirit. Remember, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, has already and repeatedly warned against external religious practices, ostentatious and pretentious practices, to the exclusion of purity of heart and mind. The Pharisees, as Jesus taught in another context, majored in minors, and they minored in majors. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, as part of his sharp criticism of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus said this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Being ritually and religiously meticulous, doing the things they ought to have done, carried no value in God's sight if they did not remember and live consistently with the weightier matters of justice and mercy and faith. Weightier matters here means matters that are of greater importance. Mercy without sacrifice was empty. Sacrifice without mercy was equally empty. To say that, as Hosea stated it, that God desired mercy and not sacrifice, meant that God desired mercy much more than sacrifice, but that mercy always included and never excluded sacrifice. The Pharisees were overly concerned about appearance and not concerned enough about heart and compassion. Your car does not run well just because it looks good. It must be internally, mechanically sound. Your standing before God does not carry weight just because you think it does. You must be internally, spiritually sound. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, John's disciples asked about fasting. Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? This was not the first time in Matthew that the subject of fasting had been discussed. We saw it first in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, where Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was tempted by the devil. Nothing in that text reflects anything negative about fasting. We encounter it the second time, multiple times in the same passage, in fact, in the middle chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Unlike Matthew chapter 4, fasting's negative facets, meaning its abuses by pretentious worshipers, those negative elements were highlighted several times in that chapter. Jesus said, "When you fast, do not be like the hypocrites." Why? They did everything possible, it seems, in order to draw attention to their fasting. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. "If you are going to fast," Jesus said, "do so that you do not appear to be fasting. Do it before God and not before man." Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. Fasting terms appear for the third time in this context, Matthew chapter 9. Fasting was a religious duty, a devotional rite, that through voluntary dietary limitations and restrictions signified grief, lament, preparation for prayer, and so forth. In some context, it might be taken to mean, figuratively, to abstain from or to avoid contact with the world. Most of the verb forms of this term are found in this greater context, either in Matthew chapter 9 or in its parallel passages in other gospel accounts, including Mark 2, verses 18 and following, and Luke 5, verses 33 and following. It's worthy to note that, under the Mosaic law, fasting was only required in association with the Day of Atonement. In that context, the people were to demonstrate a sense of afflicting their souls through humility, self-denial, mourning, and prayer. Over time, special days of fasting were incorporated into the religious observances of the Jews. John and his disciples were noted for being more ascetic than Jesus' disciples. See, for example, Matthew chapter 11, verse 18. And the Pharisees were known for fasting twice a week. Luke chapter 18, verse 12. One other thought before moving forward. The Pharisees were concerned earlier about who Jesus ate with, the tax collectors and the sinners. And now the disciples of John were concerned that Jesus and his disciples ate at all. What was Jesus' response to the question about fasting by John's disciples? Jesus responded using three illustrations. First, the wedding and the bridegroom. Second, the old garment and the new piece. And then third, the new wine and the old wineskins. In Luke chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus specifically referred to one of the illustrations as a parable. Each illustration centered on the appropriateness of fasting, not because fasting was intrinsically wrong, but because either the timing and thus the practicality of it was not the right thing to do given the circumstances. The element of timing becomes key when Jesus stated that fasting would resume by his disciples, but only after the bridegroom, referring to himself, was taken away. The element of inappropriateness, or the absence of practicality, that comes to the fore in the two latter illustrations. You do not use a new, unshrunk piece of cloth on an old garment. and you do not put new wine into old wineskins. Concerning the wedding and the bridegroom illustration, note this. The bridegroom's friends do not mourn while the bridegroom is with them. Why not? Timing and appropriateness. Better, the lack of appropriateness were the key elements here. Weddings were intended to be joyous and festive occasions. Fasting, on the other hand, was somber and reflective, more characterized by self-denial and mourning than a celebration. You do not interrupt joyous celebrations for the purpose of fasting. There's a time and there's a place, a specific set of circumstances for both, but not at the same time and under the same circumstances, and not some admixture of the two, interrupting one to engage in the other. After the bridegroom departs, that is, when the wedding was over, then you can fast. The language about the bridegroom's departure, taken away, indicates a violent and an unwelcome removal. Jesus' lesson here? His time on this earth was short. The duration of his earthly ministry was even shorter. This was not the time to fast. That time would come later. Concerning the last two illustrations, the new or unshrunk cloth and the old garment, and the new wine and the old wineskins, Jesus had this to say. You don't put new, unshrunk cloth on an old garment, because it will shrink or constrict when washed, thus pulling away from the old garment. That creates an even larger tear than it was supposed to repair, which of course defeats the very purpose of mending the tear. You do not repair the first tear by doing something to make the tear even larger. Nor do you put new wine into old wineskins. The new wine will, when it expands, break the old skins. You put new wine into new skins. Wine, if untreated by heating, filtering, diluting, keeping it cold, and so forth, it will naturally ferment, and as part of the fermentation process, it will expand. Old skins have already been used and have, accordingly, been stretched to some degree. And if they have already been stretched, the membranes of the wineskin has been thinned and weakened. So, putting new wine in old skins was not wise. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 9. This reminder as we conclude, let me encourage you to consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.